But today we're going to continue in our series on Elijah and Elisha in today's world. And today we're going to look at an incident in the life of Elisha in which the great prophet faced a major crisis in his life. As I believe that today's message is an important message for you, as I believe that God wants to bring supernatural victory into your life today. God wants to bring his perspective into your life today. And God wants you to leave here today transformed as you no longer look at life through eyes of fear, through limitations, through worry or stress, but instead look at life through the guidance and perspective of the living God, our Father in heaven. And my first 3 points that I'm going to talk on today is listen, which I think mums, you can agree, some children don't listen, do they? I know I was one of them that didn't listen. Listen, seek, and pray. They're the 3 points we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to invite a dear friend of mine, Lauren, up to come and give our reading today. Lauren's going to be reading from 2 Kings 6, 8 to 23. Let's welcome Lauren.
So from 2 Kings 6, when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king, so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It's not us, my lord, my king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in privacy in your bedroom." "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so that I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told them, "for there are more on our side than there is on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside out around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced towards him, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man that you're looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see me." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master." So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel.
Give Lauren a round of applause, guys. Amen. Didn't she look good up the front here? Do we want to see Lauren up the front more often? Yeah? Amen, amen. She's going to get me for that later. I know that. Anyway. So, Lauren just read out amazingly there. So we see Elisha, he was surrounded by a foreign army that intended to take him captive. He's there in his camp, he's having a cup of tea with his surgeon and a few cupcakes, and the army surrounding him on the outside. Now, Elijah's servant went out in the morning, he looked up and just saw the thousands of armies just surrounding them. And immediately he got scared, he saw the chariots and horses, he ran inside and he went, "Elijah, what are we going to do?" And probably none of us have ever walked out of our front doors ever in the morning and been confronted by an armed attacker waiting to do us bodily harm. But we all know what it's like when suddenly we're confronted with a life-threatening problem beyond our control, and we can all relate to the servant's panic in this crisis. But what seems quite strange to me is Elisha's cool and calm response. He just bowls out and he's like, don't worry about it. There's more with us than what's against us. And you can just picture the servant's face looking around going, there's only two of us. What are you on about? You know? But then suddenly, Elisha prayed, and he prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened, and the servant saw the unspiritual world that Elisha already saw. On the mountain beyond the armies that were surrounding them, there were horses and chariots of fire from heaven. And Elisha, I could just picture Elisha, bold as brass, he's just strutting out there with his cup of tea, going, all right, God, strike him blind. Come on, guys. We're going to go for a nice little six-mile walk down south. We're going to take you to Israel. He didn't have no fear. He wasn't even focused on the army. He was just bowling out with God. He's asked God to strike them blind, led them to the capital city. And then when he asked God to restore their sight, I'm not being funny. When you read that story, you think, God just made our enemy so vulnerable there. We could have wiped them out in an instant. But instead, Elisha said, right, feed them, water them, and send them on their way. And then he directed the king to do that, and then the Aramean raiders, once they left, they never invaded Israel again from that moment. Now, this passage illustrates some key principles of how God is victorious in situations today. Firstly, God often guides us so that our problems that may arise in our life do not come upon us, as the all-sufficiency of God comes to meet any crisis that we face. Secondly, when a problem is upon us, there is a spiritual reality that we may be blind to that is significantly more powerful and even bigger than the crisis that we're in, that can shift the balance of power, where God can supernaturally and miraculously provide solutions to the situations that we might come across, even if they look impossible. And thirdly, that prayer is our means of access to the all-sufficient living God. And God is supreme, and his might is greater than any human power or army. And it's a miracle, it's a mistake for us to view situations in only earthly terms. There is a spiritual reality that makes a big difference, and we need to see through eyes of faith and not fear. And God's heart is to not do harm even to our enemies, but to treat them with love and kindness. So let me ask you this question. How do we look at our life through the perspective of God? How do we look at our life with supernatural victory in every situation? How do we view our life in the same way Elisha did? Now, there's a strong foundation there. The first thing that we have to do is listen to God. Listen. That don't mean when you go and pray your heart out. It actually means shut up and listen. You know, how many times do we actually go to God and just be still and listen for the Father to speak first? The Bible says, be slow to speak. How many times are we actually slow to speak in our prayer time and our alone time with God? Step one in a crisis, listen and let God speak first. We're going to face crisis in our life. We're going to come against time after time again. In fact, we'll face many. It will be health issues. We'll face deaths in the family. We'll face job losses. We'll have an emptiness where our life kind of feels dull and unproductive. We're going to face crisis in failure, financial crisis, mental health and relationship problems that will at times become crushing blows for you. But in all of that, prayer will be key. But when we pray, we need to let God speak to us first before we speak to him. We need to ask God, God, what are you saying to me right now? What are you saying to me in this situation that I am in? You need to hear God's voice, and he will make the first move in your life. He never expects you to do something that he doesn't do first. And the Bible says that we love God because he loved us first. We serve him because he served us first. God initiates conversation, we respond. So how do you listen to God in your life? If you want to hear from God, You need to get still and you need to listen. God speaks to people who take time to listen. And sometimes as adults, we get spiritual wiggles. Sometimes we find it hard to get still and to listen. Sometimes we get too busy and we can't do it, especially mums. You're always busy. Mums are busy all the time. When they're cooking dinner, they're washing up at the same time. When they're doing the housework, they're helping the kids with the homework at the same time. When they're trying to do an online shop, they've got their kids on their back wanting their attention. So you have to go and hide in the toilet just to do an online shop, but yet they're still knocking at the door trying to get your attention, right? Mums, is that true? Yeah? I know I was like that when I was a kid. I'm just saying, maybe kids are different nowadays. I was a needy child. But yeah, even with, like, away from mums, how many of us are busy just watching TV? How many of us are busy just watching social media? How many of us are keeping busy through work and not switching off? How many of us are so busy in life that we're not busy enough for God? If we want to hear from God, we must be quiet to hear God speak. And if you want to hear God's vision for your life, if you want to get God's dream for your life, then we're going to have to turn off the TV. We're going to have to put down our phones and come off social media. We're going to have to try and find a time that is quiet and still just to hear from God. Is it possible, though, that God never speaks to you because you're always busy? Something is always going on in your mind. So while God is trying to get through to you on the telephone of life, he's getting a busy signal because there's always something going on. I'm worried about the bills. I need to worry about the shopping. I need to worry about when's the next meal going to come from. I need to worry about the washing. Is it going to get done in time so that I can go out? We have to reserve time alone with God. The Bible says in Job 37, pause a moment, Job, and listen. Consider the wonderful things that God does. God is calling you into a time of intimacy and stillness. He says it to us. He says, pause, be quiet, get alone, and learn solitude so that I can talk with you. Is getting God's dream for your life worth a day in your life? Is getting God's vision for your life worth a day in your life? How many of us have actually taken a day to do nothing except spend time with God and only God? How many of us have pick the day out to just rest and do nothing, but instead of sitting out and watching the TV and snacking away, how many of us have actually picked up our Bible or put on worship music and just spent time with God? God speaks to people who take time to listen, and not just for a day, but on a regular basis. And this is called a quiet time. This week, it has been a really, really battling week. As you can tell from the sound of me, I'm a bit groggy. But it has been a real hard week trying to go to work, trying to carry on. And I got this one day where I didn't have to do anything. And I thought, right, what are you doing this day? I've got washing to catch up on. I've got so many things to do. I've got to go for my preach. And I was like, God, what do I do? What do I do now? And then I thought, actually, you know what? I better practice what I preach. So I just laid down and I just said, God, I'm here. What is it you want to say to me right now? And suddenly I just felt this presence of God just come upon me. I've never felt it before in my life, to the point I'm in my flat and I'm crying my eyes out because God has showed up and God is with me. How many of us go to bed at night and wake up around 2-3 o'clock every single night? Yeah? And then you just wake up, you think, oh, why am I awake now? I hate broken sleep. Oh, if I think about it too hard, I'm going to have to get up and go to the toilet. Oh, if I get up and go to the toilet, I'm going to have to go get a drink of water. So, like, oh, great, I'm up now. Might as well go and do it. You know, but how many of us actually wake up and go, God, are you calling me? I remember we went to a leader seminar last month, and this guy shared about how every day of his life he used to wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning, every day. And he used to think, like, this is just horrible, man. I love my sleep. Like, I work hard every day, I love my sleep, and all I want to do is sleep. So he'd get up, he'd do whatever he had to do, and then go back to bed. But one day he woke up, and he just felt a sense of God just, okay, come and meet with me. So he got up, and he just went into his front room, put his dressing gown, his slippers on, got his cup of tea and his book and his pen, and he just said, God, I'm here. And God just showed up and just downloaded a whole new preach into him on that very, very night. How many of us are actually waking up in the middle of the night and instead of thinking, you know what, I just want to get back to sleep, how many of us are going, God, do you want to speak to me? How many of us are waking up every day and going, God, what do you want to say to me today? How many of us are walking into work or even looking at our children and going, God, what is your plan for them today? We need to start listening to God and start seeking God and letting him speak first. Amen? Amen. And I really felt this was strong in my heart to share today. The word surrender. Surrender. Listening is the first step. Surrender is the second step. You need to surrender what you can't control. Now, control what's controllable in your life. You can control your ingoings and your outgoings of your direct debits. You can control what food shopping that you're going to order online. Control in your life what is controllable, but leave the rest to God. James 2 says, you see that his faith and his actions were working together and his faith was made complete by what he did. If you want to come through a crisis in your life, if you want to see God bring supernatural victory in your life, we need to learn to control what is controllable in our life and trust God to do the rest. Because God is active in our mental health, our spiritual health, our physical health, our emotional health, and he wants to help us make wise choices in life through the guidance from the Bible and through prayer every day. And then when we encounter something that's out of our control, we can surrender it to God and trust him to work it out for good. Now, it's easy to go to extremes with that. On the one hand, you can say it's all up to God and become passive to the point where you do nothing at all. Or, on the other hand, you can act like God doesn't play a part in your life and assume that everything depends on you. But both of those extremes are wrong. We need to, and the word control, we need to be careful with that as well. We need to be careful with that. When it's for the benefit of others, that's a good thing. When it's for the benefit of yourselves, that's dangerous. That's bad. That's not good. We need to find a balance that helps us recognize what's in our control and then make wise decisions based on God's guidance as we read his word and talk to him in prayer.
Thank you.
Anyway, as I was saying, we need to find a balance in that. We need to recognize what we can't control and let God control the rest. And we need to spend time in his word and talk to him in prayer. It's like a movie. Has anyone ever seen Lord of the Rings? I was more of a Harry Potter fan myself, but has anyone ever seen Lord of the Rings? There's a scene where Frodo turns round to Gandalf and he says, he complains about all the evil and the pain in the world. He says, I wish that none of this had ever happened. And some of us may have actually said that in our life. I wish that none of this pain in the world would ever happen. Why is there so much pain in the world? I wish it would never happen. And then Gandalf kind of responds to Frodo and says, in the most wisest way, he says, so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we must decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. All you must do is decide what to do with the time that is given to you. Mums, you are in a constant battle every day, aren't you? Yeah? Don't worry, fathers. We'll get to you. Father's Day's coming up. It's all good. Today's about mums. Yeah? Am I right, girls? Am I right? Yeah? Wow, girl power. That's it. But no, you're in a constant battle every day and you feel like you're on your own when it comes to raising up your child. You feel like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders and everyone is against you when you're trying to raise and bring up and nurture and love and just protect your child. And you feel that every action that you have in life, every action you take in life has a reaction upon your child. And it makes you feel under pressure because you kind of feel like you've got to get it right first time. There's no room for error. There's no room for mistakes. Whether that be part of their education, part of their faith, part of their character, their personality, their health, their well-being. You feel like you're in a battle against the world and even the close world around you, even your family and friends, you can be in a battle with them. But you're fighting for your kids because you're their representatives in life. You're their advocate. And sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we mess up and sometimes we make mistakes because sometimes we're not in control of everything that goes on around our child's life. And that can be a scary thing. Because I liked what Adrian said earlier. Mums can see things that we can't see. Mums, you have next level vision. Like, seriously, growing up, my mum would see a situation unfold before it did. We'd be walking the street, and like, honestly, right, picture this scene. We'd be walking the street, the suns are shining, the birds are chirping, we're skipping down the road. Like, I'm not going to do it now, but we're skipping down the road. It's a great day. And suddenly my mum will go, boys, cut left. Why are we going this way? And all you'd hear is a commotion behind us. And you think, okay, we're still going to go. My mum had a sixth sense. Like she knew when danger was around. She knew what was going on. Is anyone else like that as a mum? Can you see it before it happens? Yeah? Can you see it before it happens? My mum used to turn around and say, it's going to end in tears. How did she know? How did she know? You're going to get hurt. How did you know? It looked fine when I was doing it. Mums are incredible. Mums are incredible. But it can be scary when you're not in control. It can be scary when your child is out and you don't even know what's going on around him. All we must do is decide what to do with the time that is given to us, because there are a lot of things in our life that we can't control. We can't control the circumstances of life, but we can choose how we respond to them. And that will make all the difference. And we need to remember as well that Jesus is our advocate. He is sitting with the Father in heaven. He is sitting with him and he is representing us in heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand to all that need it. And God is always there to help you when you need to make that choice. Amen? Amen. Second point, seek. We are to seek God's vision and spiritual perspective over our lives, even when the odds seem stacked against us in earthly situations. We should be praying for God to give us eyes to see what he is doing and how this transforms our situation. Psalm 14 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God." There are millions of Christians in the world. There are millions of people who proclaim to be a Christian. And there are millions of Christians that spend all their time seeking what God must give them rather than actually seeking God himself. When you're praying for healing and restoration or blessing, it's okay to want a miracle. It's okay to want God to step in and break through in your life. But ultimately, it should really be about seeking God himself. Seek not the miracle, but seek the giver. Amen? Your prayer should be, God, I want you. And I want to know you. When you seek God, you get everything else that follows. Everyone knows that Bible verse, my favorite Bible verse. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. When you seek God, you get everything else. And God gives many promises in the Bible about those who seek him. 2 Chronicles 7, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven." Proverbs 8, great book of wisdom. "I love those who love me and love those who seek me and find me." Hebrews 11, "Anyone who comes to him must believe he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And Deuteronomy 4, "If from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, and he will not abandon or destroy you." How many times has your kids runs up to you to seek you, to actually just want to give you a hug? To actually just want to go, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, love you." Or how many of your kids seek you to go, "I'm hungry, I want iPad, I want this, I want that." You know what I mean? How many of your kids are really good at seeking you for wanting something from you rather than actually seeking you to go, "Mum, I just want to cuddle. Mum, I just want to watch a movie with you. Mum, how's your day been?" How many of us actually go to God and just spend time with God? Or do we go like our children and go, "God, I need a financial breakthrough. My bills are coming. God, I need a job. I need a new job. Give me a pay rise. Give me something. God, help me out here." How many of us do we actually go to God and go, "Hey, God, how are you? Just checking in and wanted to chill. Do you want a cup of tea?" You know, that sort of thing. I'd invite it. We are to seek God, not just his blessing. That means that whether you get the answer we want, we'll find nothing but joy in knowing God better. Whether or not we get what we think is best for us, we'll be satisfied with what God thinks is best for us. We are to seek the heart of God in our life. We are to seek the perspective and glory of God in our lives. When we're going through a crisis, we should be seeking God even more than our deliverance from our pain. And most of us just want enough of God to bless us, but not to change us. Yeah? Ever heard of that God? His name's Jehovah Genie. You rub the Bible 3 times, Jesus pops out. What can I do for you? You give him what you want, and then you just put him back on the shelf when you need him. God is more intimate than that. God just wants to spend time with his favorite son. He wants to spend time with his favorite daughter. That's you, by the way. He wants to have intimacy with you. Give him your first and best, and he will keep every promise in your life. Amen? Amen. I'll finish with this. Pray. Pray for God's victory over your life. James 1 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Prayer in itself is an act of faith. When you come to God in prayer, it's because you have faith that God will respond. And as we focus our attention away from the crisis, away from the problem, away from whatever we're facing at the moment, when we turn our full attention onto God, we realize that actually, God, you're much bigger than our problems. You're much bigger than the crisis that I'm facing right now. We get to see God's perspective and the understanding that our faith will increase because we will begin to believe that he can fulfill the promises in our life, even if the fulfillment of those promises are not how we want them. Do you always give your children what they want? Do you always give your children what they want? No. Because you know what's best for your children, don't you? It's the same with God. God's not always going to give you what you want because God knows what's best for you. And then as we see God answer prayers, our faith will deepen because we see firsthand that he can do what he says he can do. And prayer, we need to pray like Elisha's servant. We need to pray for our eyes to be opened to the supernatural presence that God has in our life. We need to have our eyes opened because we need to realize that we are not alone in life. The crises that we face in life are not bigger than your God. And God loves you so much that there is an invisible army on your side. In 2 Kings 6:17, that Lauren read out, it said, Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Some of us feel under attack. Some of us right now are going through an attack. You may feel under attack right now through financial, through your own personal life. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's a relationship that's broken down. Or maybe you're just feeling under attack from your friends and family around you. You think you're alone in this attack and you can't even fathom how God is going to help you. Yet you're not alone. And God can help you. All we simply need to do is listen. We need to seek him and we need to pray. And when we do, God will show us all that is at our disposal and at our protection. Amen? The servant wasn't scared anymore and God gave Elisha just the right tactics to defeat the enemy. And did you know that Elisha defeated the enemy without actually lifting a finger, without actually firing a weapon? Just like Elijah and his servant, we have things that are attacking us right now. And some of us are tempted to panic. Some of us are tempted to run in fear. Some of us are tempted to just give up and turn the other way. But the truth is, we have a whole lot more that is for us than what's against us. And God wants to open your eyes to all that is on your side. Just like Elisha, we just need to ask him for help. And even though you can't see them, God has already released his forces over your life. Amen? Let's ask him to open our eyes today. Can we stand? We're going to worship God. We're just going to let that word minister to us. And this word is an amazing word. It's kind of like Can you imagine going up against a crisis? Can you imagine going up against a battle in your life and then asking God to show up, and then suddenly all these men in armors turn up and go, "Don't touch with God, don't mess with God's children. Don't mess with God's child." That's exactly what we have in store for us. And God wants to bring that supernatural victory into your life today. God wants to open your eyes to his perspective in your life today. Can we just, wherever we are, can we just close our eyes, lift up our hands, open our hearts to God, and just receive from him today? God is going to do an amazing work in us, because some of us are in a position and state today where we feel like we're on the battleground. We feel like we're in a constant battle with our mental health, where we feel like we can never be successful. We feel like everything we try just falls on deaf ears. Everything that we do doesn't cultivate anything. Nothing comes out of it. Some of us feel like everything that we try and do to financially get better, everything that we try and do to help others around us, everything that we try and do in life to just make something work, nothing happens. And I feel like for some, you've just got used to sticking in the rut. You just got used to being in this position you're in, to the point where you go, "You know what? I'm happy with what I've got. I don't need that. That's for them. That's not for me. That's for them. I will never make that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart enough. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I feel I'm not entitled." The truth is, none of us are entitled. It doesn't make us worthless. It just means that we need a substitution in our lives. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is our replacement. Jesus is the one that makes us entitled to the presence of God and the power of his kingdom. And I feel like there's someone here, you've been looking at your life recently and you've said to yourself things like, "What has my life come to? I'm in a dead-end job, barely scraping by. I'm not happy. My relationships are all over the place. Everything that I do, it just makes things worse." And I feel like you're in that place where you just feel, "What's the point now? What's the point? I might as well just give up. I might as well just throw in the towel." And if that's you, I just want to just speak to you directly and just say, you are not on your own. There is an army on your side, and God is at hand, and all you need to do is just call upon him. Do you want your life to be transformed today? Do you want to no longer look at life through eyes of fear, through limitations, through worry, through stress, but instead look at your life through the guidance and the perspective of God, our living Father in heaven? Because in Christ we have access to the entire armory of God. We have access to the entire artillery of God. And don't think for one second an artillery is just a weapons base. A weapon comes in many forms. A weapon can come in a blessing, in a healing, in a restoration. That is the weapons of God. God's weapons of warfare are love. And we need to learn to listen to God, to seek God, and to pray for God to come in into every crisis in our life. So let's start today to get a regular devoted time to get alone with God and listen to God. Let's be quick to listen and slow to speak. Is there any areas of your life where you need to surrender it to God? Any areas of your life which you shouldn't control, which you can't control, that you need to surrender to God and just let God deal with it? Let's start today by seeing life through God's eyes and through God's perspective. Once we decide to listen to him, we start to see things through life through God's eyes.